Good morning, friends. Good morning. Welcome to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those both in person and online. Whether you are coming, wherever you are coming from, whatever you are bringing with you this week, we pray you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. We have a few announcements. We begin the Lent this week. We have our Lenten service on Wednesday the 18th at 6 o'clock, and we hope to see you all here. And now a word from Pastor Noah on the discernment.
Good morning. As you know, if you were at the annual meeting last week, we introduced our discernment 2026 process. If you weren't there and you want to know more, you can come and talk to me and I can give you a rundown of it, or talk to one of your friendly neighborhood elders and they will tell you all about it. But what you took away from that meeting, I hope, if you were here, was this little pamphlet, this Discernment 2026 reading plan. And it has just some scriptures, about 2 to 3 scriptures a week, with some questions for reflection that we're asking you to do as we engage this process together. If you did not get one of these, there are more in the vestibule and on the table in the hall, just down here. So please pick up one of these and be in prayer throughout this process as we seek to discern who Christ is calling Hebron to be. One of the other things that we're doing for this discernment process are what we're calling wall questions. So down outside of Holman Hall on the bulletin board, there is a question. And each of you has the opportunity to, in your own way, answer that question. So I would tell you to, before you leave today, even if you don't join us for fellowship, please go down and at least think about the question. Whether you've been here one time or whether you've been here a million times, your input is appreciated and needed. Yes, that is all I have to say.
So always, we have refreshments after church, and it's down in the fellowship hall, so please join us for that. And finally, today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper. This is the Lord's table, and it is Christ who offers the invitation. All those who have been baptized in the name of the triune God are welcome to eat of this meal. It is the practice of this congregation that we take the elements all at once after they are distributed. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship. Please rise as we are called to worship. Oops. Sorry. Prelude. Sorry. Thank you. Now, please rise as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Tremble before him, all the earth.
The same God who has gathered us to worship now greets you with these words: grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory to Peter, James, and John on the mountaintop, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
If anyone sins, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And Christ himself is the means by which our sins are forgiven, not our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, let us confess our sins. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide. And too deep to undo.
Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more into your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world.
Amen. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might be dead to sin and be made alive to righteousness. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Since we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, let us be reconciled to one another, sharing the peace only Christ can give. The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
You're invited to share signs of Christ's peace with those around you. I would invite any children forward for our children's message. He's bringing presents with him. That's okay. That's okay. Oh, I love those.
Can you see what Pastor Noah?
Yeah, you can. Okay, good morning, my friend.
Oh,
he's back. Now, I'll just say something to you all, is that this week was the day school's Valentine's Day party, and the cutest shirts were worn by these boys, and it says, "Mama is my Valentine." So, okay, well, we are going to read, well, actually, we're going to learn a song. We're going to learn a song, and the words are, you'll just hear it from me, and then we'll talk a little bit about what they mean. So let's look at this little book. It says, Partner People. So I'm going to try my best to sing this. This is the way we tend God's world, mend God's world. This is the way we tend God's world, for we are partner people. This is the way we sing God's praise, all our days. This is the way we sing God's praise, for we are partner people. This is the way we share our bread, so all are fed. This is the way we share our bread, for we are partner people. This is the way we live God's love, give God's love. This is the way we live God's love, for we are partner people. Holy, holy, holy one, Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Holy, holy, holy one, we are your partner people. The end. So God wants us to partner with him. Do you know sometimes we need help from one another to do things like maybe clean up our toys or build a really cool fort? We need help. Well, God says that he wants our help to serve and love the world. And we do that in so many ways. Sometimes we do that by praying. Sometimes we do that by sharing our food. Sometimes we do that by tending creation, the ground and plants. But all of these things are part of God's plan to partner with us to show his love to the world. Okay, will you pray with me? This is a repeat after me prayer. Let's pray. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for showing us.
Thank you for showing us.
That you don't go it alone.
That you don't go it alone.
But want us to partner with you.
But want us to partner with you.
Help us.
Help us.
To show your love.
To show your love.
In word and deed.
In word and deed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We pray.
We pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back to your seats. Will you pray with me? God of shining splendor, your voice makes the earth tremble in wonder. Overshadow us now with your spirit, that we may hear your word and live as faithful disciples and partner people. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting in the 14th verse. This is right at the beginning of what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, or in Luke's Gospel, the Sermon on the Plain. So just before this, Jesus has proclaimed the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are you who are persecuted, etc. And now he moves on to describing his people, to describing the community that he's forming. So again, just right before this passage that we'll read, he says to them, you are salt. And salt that loses its flavor is useless and is thrown out. So be salty, basically. And then he moves to the next metaphor. Now what I want you to know as we read this is when it says you in this passage, it is the plural you. It's not you as in an individual. It is you all, or as we say here,
y'all.
So listen now to God's word as it comes to us from Matthew. Jesus said to them, you all are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let your light shine before others. Over these past few weeks, we have been exploring how the good news of Jesus translates into the way we live together as a church. And it's based on this premise, that the gospel is not only something that we mentally assent to, nor is it only something we experience personally in our hearts, But it is a reality. The gospel is a reality that fundamentally transforms the way we exist in relationship to one another and to the world. Said another way, the announcement of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for you has power in every aspect of your life. Believing the gospel changes how you live, and how you live shows how far you believe the gospel. Now, this topic is needed today more than ever. With the rise of secularism and more people identifying as de-churched, those who maybe have left the church, or unchurched, those who have no church experience at all, with the rise of these things, those cultural assumptions which once made Christianity easily believable, those assumptions like everybody believes in God or most people are basically Christian in some way or another, those cultural assumptions are now ever being questioned and challenged. I'm not saying whether this is a good or a bad thing. I think we can make arguments on both sides. But I'm simply noting that belief is no longer taken for granted in our world. You know this. Now add to that, so this is a reality in our world, add to that then those Christians out there who by their actions give Christ a bad name. Those who say one thing and act another. Who say they love their neighbor, but they hold grudges against those who are sitting in the pew next to them. Who say they are welcoming, yet they give the cold shoulder to new people. Who judge harshly, but reject accountability. Who are legalistic towards others while acting unethically themselves. The natural reaction to such behavior is repulsion, right? We know we can basically sniff out hypocrisy. People can sniff out hypocrisy really easily. And as those who look upon the church and see behavior like this, they'll begin to ask themselves, if these people believe in Jesus and live this way, why would I want anything to do with this Jesus? Christians behaving badly discredits Christ in the eyes of the world. And unfortunately, these are sometimes the loudest voices in our world. So, on the one hand, discredited by bad behavior, and on the other, questioned by changing cultural norms, when the gospel goes out into the world, it is more often met with suspicion, with questions, if not outright rejection. And the question we as the Church of Jesus Christ must now answer is this: how does the gospel find its credibility in the world? Basically, how is the gospel believable in this modern day? Now, it cannot be that the answer is in more engaging programs or in cooler buildings or in more charismatic speakers. Because the church has tried those things, but they haven't yielded the same results. They're relatively surface level, but people's suspicions and questions run much deeper than surface level. So we need to think differently, have a different approach to making sense of the good news in today's world. Now, the missionary theologian Leslie Newbegin, he made a similar claim over 8 decades ago as he noticed changes taking place in Great Britain after World War II. He wrote this: how is it possible that the gospel should be credible, that people should come to believe that the power which has the last word in human affairs is represented by a man hanging on a cross? I am suggesting that the only answer, the only hermeneutic of the gospel, is a congregation of men and women who believe it and live it. Who believe it and live by it. Newbegin is saying that it is a body of disciples who truly believe and who truly live it out in their daily lives. This is what gives the gospel credibility in the eyes of the world. Now, this may seem a little too simple, like, okay, we get it, the church is nice, and that, you know, people like that. But this goes back to the very foundation of our faith. It's the very thing that Jesus is telling us in our scripture this morning. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And we know that humans by nature are attracted to light. I mean, who hasn't been drawn in by the warmth and light of maybe a campfire? Or as a child, or maybe you know a child who's found comfort and security in the glow of a nightlight. In this same way, Jesus tells us, when we shine with spiritual light, people cannot help but be drawn in, to be attracted to that. Not because of anything that's in ourselves necessarily, because we're so great, but because they see another reality breaking forth. He says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, what's fascinating about Jesus' description here is that it's not a command, but a statement of fact. He does not say, you ought to be the light of the world, or you could be the light of the world, or even I just wish you guys would be the light of the world. Instead, he describes a reality. You are the light of the world. This points to the reality that this light is not something we possess. It's not innate within us. It's not something that we can generate or manufacture for the world, but it's something that is received. It is the truth that as we receive and rest in and revel in the gospel, we shine with light. As we receive the gospel, we shine with light because in the gospel we are gifted with the light of the nations, Jesus Christ. As we receive, rest, and revel in the announcement that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, that amazing good news, we begin to shine for all the world to see. The light is not our own, but it is given so that we would radiate gospel brilliance. Now, though we can't generate this gospel light, Jesus also points to the fact that we can obscure the light. We can hide it under a bushel basket, so to speak. I've already mentioned how acting contrary to the good news acts to discredit the faith. But we can also obscure the light in more indirect and unintentional ways. We do it by taking the gospel for granted, by thinking that just because you're in church, you understand it. We do this indirectly by being content with the status quo, with not ever really questioning our church's culture. We do it unintentionally by simply failing to ask, how does this message show up in my daily living? My friends, the Lord Jesus has chosen the church universal, but also this congregation, this gathering of finite humans to be the means through which he takes the gospel to the world. And if we want to be a people who draw others into this message, who shine with Christ's light, we must be self-aware. We must be willing to ask those hard questions. How are we living the message? Where might we be falling short? How is Christ calling us to embody the good news here and now? None of us can do this on our own. It is the community of faith, it is us together who Christ calls to shine. God has gathered us to be a church where the gospel is believed and lived. And so together, and with God's help, we can be that people and take seriously his command to let our light shine before others. So in that spirit, I'd invite you to join me. Today is Singing Sunday, I guess, in singing a song I'm sure you know well, This Little Light of Mine. I did it with the day school kids this week in chapel time, and I said, get out your little candle. Ready? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let your light shine. Amen. Responding to God's word, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrifice and fragrant offering to God. Almighty and gracious God, we thank you for these gifts which you have given us from your mercy and grace. We give these back to you as a token of our gratitude and love. Use them, multiply them, that they may be of service to your kingdom. And use us, we pray, that our whole lives may point to Christ our Lord. Help us to shine. In Jesus' name, amen. We come now to the table of grace. Our Savior Jesus Christ has ordained and instituted the sacrament of the supper to nourish and to sustain all those who have been regenerated and engrafted into his family, which is his church. Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body and an earthly visible cup as the sacrament of his blood. Just as truly as we take these elements and hold them in our hand and eat and drink by which our bodies are sustained, so just as truly do we receive the true body and true blood of Jesus Christ for the life of our souls. We receive these by faith, which are the hands and mouth of our souls. This banquet is a spiritual table in which Christ communicates himself to us with all his benefits. And by use of this holy sacrament, we are moved to a fervent love of God and love of neighbor. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." My friends, this is the Lord's table. Christ invites those who trust in him to share the feast he has prepared. But first, let us turn to God with thanks and praise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God. You sent the sun to brighten the day and the moon and stars to illumine the night. You lead us by the light of your truth into the way of righteousness and peace. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son. In his face we glimpse your glory. In his life we see your love. In his rising from the grave, we behold the promise of eternal life. Remembering then all your mighty and merciful acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this cup and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await his coming again in glory. With thanksgiving, we offer ourselves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor and the afflicted, the sick and the dying, prisoners and all who are lonely, the victims of war, injustice, and inhumanity, and all who suffer this day in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding that divides your creatures, and increase in us the recognition that we are all made in your image. Look upon your church in her struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on her weaknesses. Bring an end to her divisions and scatter her fears. Look also upon the ministry of this church, which you have called Hebron. Increase our courage, strengthen our faith, inspire our witness to all people, even to the ends of the earth. Illumine our lives, O God, with the radiance of Christ's love, that we may live for you and love as he loved. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." In a similar way, after the supper was ended, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, drink, this is my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me." And so it is, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord crucified and risen until he comes again in glory. My friends, these are the gifts of God, and they are for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you. the body of Christ broken for you. Take, eat. The blood of Christ shed for you, take, drink. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus Christ, for the gifts of grace that we have received by your hand at this table. Now send us forth to reflect your light, proclaiming your saving death and resurrection until you come. For we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
reminder that this Wednesday at 6 p.m. is our Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary as we kick off the season of Lent. And of course, as always, join us in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. Now go from this place to shine your light before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen. Thank you.